Claiming Social Security benefits at the right time is a huge financial decision. You get one chance to get it right. There are no do-overs. Visit RealClearSocialSecurity.com and learn how to claim benefits. RealClearSocialSecurity.com.
KNUS Denver,
a Salem Media Group station.
Now, entering the arena from the University of Colorado, 20 years in the ring, fighting for the people of Colorado, exposing corruption, stopping the bad guys, speaking truth to power, the undefeated heavyweight champion of the people.
No, it is another beautiful day to speak truth to power. Glad you're here. Great to have Brother Pete back in the house, safe and sound. What an amazing journey. And hopefully Pete can cycle back in a few minutes and chat. There's so much I want to talk to him about because you know how traveling, even traveling out of state, can sometimes change your perspective on things. A trip like that, I want to drill down and find out, Pete, has it changed this, changed that, et cetera. Grateful to have the chance to talk to Congressman Tom Tancredo. I've enjoyed that over the years and decades. Congressman, how you doing this morning?
I'm well, my friend. How are you?
Well, good, good. Hey, appreciate the time. Wanted to talk to you about what the fix is here. I don't know Steve House. I don't know that I've even ever met him in person. I do know you, and I know the great service you provided to this state. And so as we look at this situation right now, what I'm trying to figure out, as a guy I think views this cycle the way probably you and everybody else does, a really critical cycle for the GOP, both in that Senate race and in the presidential race and beyond, you know, the question is, okay, you've got this situation now with Steve House. You have the stories that have appeared so far. How does this get fixed? You've been such a prominent leader in the party for so many years. You've dealt with so many situations. How does this get fixed going forward?
The best way, and I think perhaps the only way for it to get, quote, fixed is for the executive committee of the state party to take some action that would bring the whole issue to a vote of the central committee, the entire central committee. There's a process that is, you know, laid out in the bylaws of the state party as to how to do this if there is a vacancy. But only if that vacancy occurs can that process go forward. So it is, to a large extent, it is up to Steve as to how he wants to handle it. And he says he wants to stay. Well, you know, that certainly can be a way to handle it. I do not know. I do not believe it's the best way, but yeah. I have no ability to change it. I'm not on the Central Committee. Yeah. I'm not on any committee of the state Republican Party.
Can the Central Committee remove him?
No.
Wow. So once there's no recall?
Central Committee. Yes, that can happen. I'm sorry. There's two parts. One is the executive committee, and it's a, you know, group of, I don't know, 10 or 15, 25 people, something like that. They can take action. They can call for a vote of no confidence. That's one thing that can happen. If Steve chooses not to resign, it's my understanding, and Danny, believe me, I have been around a long time, and it is true, but not really in party politics, in the bowels of the Republican Party, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
And so, the way I understand it, if he chooses not to step down, then really there's nothing else I think that can happen except if somehow a vote of the Central Committee can be held, they can remove him, and it takes, I think, 70%.
Wow. I mean,
yeah, so it's a kind of a convoluted
situation.
Process.
I got to tell you, if you write a book, I'm going to buy it. I'll be the first guy in line to buy it. I'll be that guy at Barnes & Noble's who camps out to stand there first and buy it. Because when you think of everything you've been through, including trying to salvage things when Dan Mays wouldn't cooperate and do the right thing and step aside, I mean, you've been in so many of these interesting situations. It just seems to me that this is one that really does need to be fixed in a hurry with
everything
going on. But, wow.
Yeah. And Danny, as I say, I assure you, you know, as God is my judge, and he is, that this is nothing that I or anybody else wanted to do or to have happen.
Yeah.
We were strong supporters, and just the reason why we ended up being sort of, I don't know, selected, asked, whatever you want to say, to confront him and meet with him, because we wanted, they wanted to, everybody wanted to make sure he understood the seriousness of the issue. And so I did, but certainly not because I have just any desire to step back into this kind of ugly stuff. I don't. It's like I say, riding my motorcycle with Peter, that's a nice day.
Mm-hmm. That would be a nice day. That would be. But, you know, you have so much hard-earned credibility and clout and influence. I'm just hoping that you'll be able to use that, given this current mess, to help clean things up, because Lord knows it's going to be tough enough in this 16 cycle. And I know you know that better than anybody, because you've been in the arena. You've been in these races. You've been in these fights. So I just am...
I hope it's done quickly. It certainly would be the best thing for the party. And I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't have a candidate. It's not as if... I don't know where it goes from there. I don't know who gets, you know, elected. I don't even know who would get into the arena. I hope that we will make better decisions than we've made in the past.
Yeah. Wow. And I know you're limited on what you can say this morning. I appreciate the chance to talk with you about this. And I know you'll do everything you can do to try to make sure this ends well and quickly so the focus can turn back to the races. Speaking of which, you know, you've seen so much over the years. And I think, first time I met you was probably 35 years ago or so. So you've seen so much of Colorado political history. What's your take on the lay of the land for the 16th Senate race, both Bennett, how strong or weak a candidate, the GOP field, any early favorites? Where do you see this thing going?
Well, I heard, saw, can't remember if it was something. I don't think it was. I think that it was some sort of internal polling that had been done even in the Bennett race. I mean, in the Bennett campaign, that shows his reelect numbers are horrible, worse than Udall's were at this time, and they were bad. It was like 41. Bennett is something like 37% reelect.
Wow.
Now, my friend, if that's accurate, then I will tell you he is in a world of hurt. If you are an incumbent with less than 50%, you're going to have a very difficult time. If it's actually under 40%, believe me, he should be scared to death. Now, in terms of the field, I'll tell you who I like, and who I hope is able to actually step forward, and that's George Brockler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he is a smart, articulate, squeaky clean candidate who really could make it work for the Republicans in 16. And, you know, I say, I hope he's at the, certainly, my God, this interminable trial will be over with by then. He can maybe do that. And I talked to him about it the other night, and you know, he's certainly not averse to it, but if he was being, you know, his, well, we'll talk, sort of thing. But
obviously,
he's, I think, the best of the bunch.
Yeah, obviously, I'm impressed by George. That's why I hired him for my law firm. I mean, I think he has a remarkable skill set.
I'm impressed with that guy. Every time I hear him speak, and I just think he has all of the credentials to go into this with, you know, a really, really strong campaign, and I think he could raise a lot of money. I think he's the best.
Yeah, I think he's very strong. Now, and I think all of those skills that George has made George such a great trial lawyer, you know, transfer very easily to the political arena. So, no, I think he'd be very strong. But, Bennett, again, you sit here and you say, what would the reason be to vote for Michael Bennett? For at least those who, you know, aren't on his dole at this point, those who don't have some direct relationship to him, what would be the reason to vote for Michael Bennett?
Right. And, you know, the incumbency is beginning to lose its allure, it appears. You know what I mean?
Bennett, I don't think it's a plus at all.
No. And so where it was almost always just, you know, that's your ticket for the rest of your life. You know, once in, you're going to be in. But anymore. I can only imagine that these low reelect numbers, again, if they're accurate, are a result of people's disdain for incumbents in general. And, you know, so, I mean, it's got to be part of that. And then another part is just, as you say, trying to figure out, well, what's this guy done to make me think that he should stay there for another 6 years? But, you know, could all be wishful thinking on our part. But it would be great. And there are people in the state that can get this job done. And, you know, the party, I have just, for most of my political life, it has not really been the central focus of my campaigns. I've always had to sort of run my own. The party was tangential, but not terribly involved. And many times, of course, they were actually opposed to my continuing. Mm-hmm. But so you can, you know, I don't want to overemphasize the role of the Republican Party in these campaigns. Now, don't get me wrong, it can be a problematic from the standpoint of money raising and that sort of thing, but a personality such as Brockler's can overcome even these internal divisions in the party, I think.
Yeah.
And that's why it would be great if it were somebody like him.
Well, that's going to be critical because it seems to me the GOP nominee has to be somebody who can unite the base, including the various factions, while at the same time, you know, peeling off support from conservative Dems as well as unaffiliated. And so it's going to take that guy or gal, no question about it. But then when you look at Bennett, I mean, like you say to me, A, incumbency in general is a negative right now, not a positive.
Yeah.
And B, Bennett himself, you know, not to make it personal, but it is personal at a certain level, how people respond to a candidate. And what is there about Michael Bennett that would get anybody excited? I mean, do they even live here anymore? I mean, a guy like you know, whether people agree or disagree on certain positions, you know, you're a regular guy. You're alive. You've got a charisma. You know, you're out there. There's a personality. People can get a feel for you. You know, a Michael Bennett, who is he really?
Well, but you know and I know what he will have as an advantage going into this, and that is the media, the Denver Post. They will be extremely excited about his candidacy and try to figure out a way to make somebody else feel that way.
Hey, and that is a fair point, Tom, because Congressman Tom Tancredo, our guest, that's a fair point, because obviously you look at Corey, who to me was about as strong as a candidate could be, running in about the most favorable cycle, against kind of a dead man walking opponent who seemed to have been clinically dead for about 4 months before Election Day. And even with all those favorable conditions, Corey wins by less than 2 points. I have to think the Denver Post endorsement may very well have made a difference there simply because it was such a surprise.
Yeah.
And whereas you can be darn sure, I mean, Michael Bennett could spend the next, you know, year robbing banks at gunpoint and he'd still get the Denver Post endorsement.
He will get the Post endorsement. That is for sure. And, you know, I've often thought to myself how wonderful it would be to think while you're in politics, you know, I really have to worry about that because the paper will back me up, you know? What a weird and strange thing. But, you know, it's for those guys, they've certainly got that on their side.
Well, yeah, and as you know, it's not so much the endorsement alone, unless it's a surprise endorsement, it's what they choose to report and what they bury. You know, the mainstream media burying the truth about Barack Obama is the only reason he's president, because he wouldn't have won Iowa. He wouldn't have been the Democratic nominee. So, you know, what they choose to bury about Michael Bennett rather than highlight, and then, you know, what negatives they choose to focus on with the GOP candidate and then exaggerate, et cetera, I think is the big dynamic there.
Yeah, that you're absolutely right. And that's why I say, one of those wonderful feelings a politician can have, I suppose, that certainly I never did, but was, well, I don't have to worry about that. The paper won't ever bring it up.
Right. No, that's it. That must be a remarkable world to live in.
Well, remarkable feeling.
So. Well, very much appreciate your time. And again, I know how much hard-earned influence and clout you have with so many people, and I'm just hoping that you can be a big help in getting this situation straightened out. So, you know, we all of us together, including the apparatus provided by the GOP in Colorado, can go into this thing strong. Because aren't you thinking we're going to be sitting there on election night and it's going to come down to the get out the vote effort? It's going to come down to maybe a point or less on this Senate race?
Sure. I think that's the conventional wisdom would tell you that that's exactly the way it's going to be. But I think if we have ahead of the ticket, that's the other thing we got to think about.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. I'm thinking the same thing in the presidential race. Who do you like there? Who do you like there?
Right. I mean, we've got to have somebody that ignites the party, the base, all those things. It gets people juices flowing and thinking. You know, I mean, I have never been so amazed, befuddled by an election as I was by the re-election of Barack Obama. I would have sworn that that could not have happened.
Mm-hmm.
That the first time it was, you know, the typical, well, he's, look who he's running against, number one, number two, he's the first black person, all the things that were kind of cool about it. Then you think, well, now we've had 4 years, people certainly see the problems. But no, there he is again.
Yeah.
So conventional wisdom can often go out the door for a variety of reasons that we can't foresee today. And so we desperately need some inspirational leadership.
Who do you like in the presidential race? Who do you don't not like? One thing I wanted to ask you about is I really like Marco Rubio. Is he disqualified in your mind because of the immigration bill, or what's your view on Rubio?
Well, I like him because he is likable, right? And he, I think, can excite. Again, we're talking about being a sort of a charismatic leader, and we certainly might need him. I am not as excited, of course, about his vacillation on the immigration issue.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, from my point of view, certainly not a deal killer, because the option, again, is just not acceptable. Now, the problem is that only one person of all of those, maybe with the exception now of Donald Trump, you have to add him to the mix.
Right.
Because I used to always say there's only one person who has been consistent on the issue about which I care greatly, and that is immigration, and that is Ted Cruz. The others, all of them, even though I certainly like Scout Walker, he's, again, a very talented guy, very, very capable guy, but man alive, trying to figure out where they are on some of these issues, in particular immigration, has been very difficult. So I like Cruz. I also recognize that, you know, he's probably not the front runner, but hey.
That can change.
That can change. That can,
I mean, the debates are going to be fascinating if anybody gets time to say anything. But
Man, I still remember being on the stage there. We had nine.
Yeah.
My first presidential debate.
Reagan Library, right?
The Reagan Library.
Yeah.
And there were, I think, nine of us at the time. And of course, the minor candidates, myself being the most minor, we stood there like potted plants, for the most part. And I think I got, a total of maybe three questions asked me during that one. And I probably fumbled them all. So,
you were in the arena, man. That takes a lot of guts.
Oh, I was scared to death, I have to tell you, man.
Yeah, but you fought through it. And, you know what I think they should do, Congressman Tom Tancredo, our guest, is I think just take the rules off. And it could tell you a lot about the skill set of the candidates if it was just kind of a free-for-all, which doesn't mean a cage match. It doesn't mean you're throwing raw meat in there, but just the candidates themselves. If, say, 10 of us were sitting around this radio studio talking about the issues of the day, who could manage the situation? And
Danny, that is absolutely the best way to do it. These staged events, these debates where any candidate has a maybe 30 seconds to respond to something or make a point. And it's a very adversarial, usually with the moderator, who is, like we've seen in the past, certainly not unbiased. So and it just leaves it's impossible. It is impossible to make a good decision based on that kind of stuff. You don't have enough time. But if you have the ability to, like you say, sit around and discuss issues, and maybe you do it in, you can't maybe do it with 9 or 10 or 12 people, but, and they're talking about, as I understand, having, you know, at least two different levels of debate, I guess.
Right, A-team, B-team, JV varsity.
Then that might be something, but you could do a series of these kinds of things, you know, and that would be so much more intriguing, I think, for people to watch, and because the rest of it is just simply so micromanaged and
It'll still be fun. Still be fun with some of those brains and personalities in there. But grateful for your time this morning, and would love to stay in touch with you as this whole thing rolls out.
Yeah, hoping it rolls out.
Well, good luck with that.
Okay,
thanks, Congressman Tom Tancredo. Appreciate the time. 303-696-1971. Was it Confucius, Charles? I can't remember. Who said it's a blessing to live in interesting times? Well, we are very blessed. When we come back, open it up. We'll open it up on, you know, what's going on right now with the Colorado GOP, what you think the right fix is, how to get this thing straightened out in a hurry, move on, and get to the business of winning these races. Lots more on the agenda today, including Donald Trump. And we have a lot of sound from Trump. And again, get your quick take now that you've had a day to think about it. Carnival Barker, serious candidate. What impact on the debates? What impact on the race? And then much, much more ahead. 303-696-1971. Dan at 710KNUS.com.